you going to speak something?
No, no, you're waiting.
You're just waiting for me. Oh, okay. Hare Krishna. Okay, just waiting for things to simmer down. Who recognizes where this place is? Varsana. Varsana is a very wonderful place in Vrindavan. How many here have been to Vrindavan? Very nice. How many here would like to go to Vrindavan? Haribo! Let's go. We'll try to take you there by sound vibration. The topic that I want to speak about this evening, actually it's inspired by the recent festivals that we've been having, Janmashtami and Radhashtami and Balaram's appearance day. And we've been hearing over and over again the verse, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvataha yakta deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that if one can understand the transcendental nature of his appearance and his activities in this world, that understanding is so potent and so sublime that it's sufficient to carry one to the spiritual world. Chaktva deham punar janma. It's a one-way ticket to the spiritual world. Tomorrow I'm going to Vrindavan. Getting on a plane in the afternoon, and of course it's a round-trip ticket. Coming back to L.A. in November. But if we can absorb our consciousness in understanding the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and his activities, it's a one-way ticket with visa and passport to the spiritual world. And just as Krishna makes his wonderful appearance in Vrindavan, and also Srimati Radharani, Varsana is the home of Srimati Radharani, and this very beautiful, majestic, ancient temple on the top of the hill in Varsana is the place where many wonderful childhood pastimes were performed by Radha, between Radha and Krishna. So I wanted to discuss some of the temples in Vrindavan where very wonderful pastimes were performed by Radha and Krishna and making their appearance in deity forms. So that's this evening's discussion. The transcendental divine appearance of Krishna and Radha in their divine deity forms. And we'll start with discussing the appearance of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Now this Radha Gopinath deity is a very, very ancient deity. We know from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that after Krishna made his arrangement for the Pandavas to be seated in the royal throne after the Kurukshetra battle, Yudhisthira Maharaj was enthroned as the king, the emperor of the world. And then Krishna returned. Very drama-filled event of Krishna's return, leave from Hastinapur and returning to Dwaraka. And after some time, after Krishna returned to Dwaraka, he performed his pastimes of leaving this world. And when Krishna left the world, the Pandavas couldn't stand separation from Krishna, so they left this world also, shortly thereafter. But before leaving, they turned the kingdom over to the grandson, whose name was Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj was the emperor of the world, and he made one of his first arrangements was that he made the great grandson of Krishna the king of Mathura. Krishna was born in Mathura, and the great grandson of Krishna, Vajranabha, was king of Mathura. And one of the first things that the king of Mathura did, Vajranabha, was he established the worship of a number of deities of Krishna in Mathura or in Vrindavan. A number of deities. And some of those deities are still existing. And Radha Gopinath is one of those deities. There are three deities that I'm going to specifically mention. The three deities, according to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that preside over the main subject matters found within all of the Vedas. The first subject matter you see written as the header here, Sambandha. Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha means relationship. Relationship of all things that emanate from God. There's a relationship. There's the source of emanation and that which emanates. And the understanding of that relationship of all things with God is Sambandha Gyan. And the deity that presides over Sambandha Gyan is Madan Mohan. So here are the deities. If you visit Vrindavan, you will see the Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan deities. And whenever we perform our sacrificial ceremonies, we always recite the Mangalacharana prayers. And this is one of them, the prayer we find in those that's for Madan Mohan. So we can recite that prayer together. Jayatam sarato pangor mama manda mater gati matsarvasva padam bhojo Radha Madana Mohano. And the translation, glory to the all merciful Sri Radha and Madan Mohan. They are the only shelter of my depraved and crippled self. Their lotus feet are the be all and end all of my life. Another deity established by Vajranabha was the deity that presides over Abhideya Gyan, that portion of the Vedas that teaches us about activities performed within that relationship with Krishna. And the deity that presides over that body of knowledge is Radha Govinda. And if you visit Vrindavan, you'll see these Radha Govinda deities at Radhakund. These particular Radha Govinda deities are found there, very tall, very beautiful Radha Govinda deities. And this is our prayer to Radha Govinda. Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Dramadaha Srimad Ratnagara Singhasanasto Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Peshtadibhi Sevyamano Smarami. I meditate on Sri Radha Govinda. They are seated on a throne in a mansion bedecked with gems under the desire trees in Vrindavan, being served by their loving female consorts. And here are the Radha Gopinath deities that were installed by Vajranabha over 5,000 years ago. And this deity, Radha Gopinath, presides over the third body of knowledge found within the Vedas, or Prayojana Gyan. Prayojana means when one acts in one's relationship with Krishna, the fruit, the mature stage of consciousness that awakens is Prayojana, or the goal. Prema Prayojana. And the deity presiding over this portion of the Vedas is Radha Gopinath. And our prayer to Radha Gopinath is Sriman Rasa Rasarambhi Vangshi Vata Tata Stittaha Harshan Venu Svanayar Gopir Gopinatha Shriyestunaha. May Lord Gopinath confer upon us his grace. He inaugurated the Rasa Leela by attracting the spiritual milkmaids of Braja with the enchanting tune of his flute. And he is seated at the base of the Vangshivat tree. So there's a number of deities that Vajranava installed. And over the passage of time, there were invasions from the north of India, invasions from warring soldiers wanting to take over parts of India. And so the deities were in danger. And so sometimes the deities had to be hidden. And so the Radha Gopinath deities, among other deities, were at one time hidden in a very secluded place, in a very safe place, and their whereabouts became unknown for a long period of time. But of course, they made their transcendental appearance once again. The deity of Gopinath was found by the Vangshivat tree, by one very elevated Vaishnava, Paramananda Bhattacharya, and he was excavating a temple. You see the Vangshivat tree. It's in the place where Krishna would regularly perform his rasa dance. Under the Vangshivat tree, Krishna played upon his flute, his vangsi. He called the gopis to come and enjoy with him his rasa dance. You can see the picture painted on the wall in the back. Radha and Krishna, and Radha and Krishna and the gopis enjoyed their rasa leela here at the Vangshivat tree. And when excavating a temple, this sadhu found the deity under the ground. And he entrusted the worship of that deity to one very elevated devotee, a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit named Madhu Pandit. And Madhu Pandit established this Gopinath Mandir for the worship of the deity. Now, when the deity of Gopinath was found, only Gopinath was found, and a deity of Krishna was put by Gopinath's side. And sometime later, after the temple was built and the worship of the deities had gone on for some time, Mother Janava came to visit Vrindavan. Who is Mother Janava? Nityananda's eternal consort, Janava. Just like Lord Balaram, his expansion in Krishna's Leela is Lord Nityananda. Balaram had his wife Revati, and Nityananda had his wife or consort, Janava Mata. So after Lord Chaitanya completed his pastimes and left this world, sometime after that, Lord Nityananda, he left this world, and Janava survived him. And Janava was known as a very, very, very elevated Vaishnavi. She was accepted even by Rupa and Sanatan Goswami as their worshipable superior. Because after all, Gaur Nithai, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya were their worshipable lords. And Janava is their Nityananda's consort. So when she came to visit Vrindavan, she was revered by all the Vaishnavas. And she visited the temples that the Goswamis had established in Vrindavan. This is all described in Bhakti Ratnakar. She visited the temple of Radha Gopinath. And she saw the beautiful form of Radha Gopinath. But she was thinking, now this is Radha Gopinath in Jaipur, the deity of Radha, not the deity that you see here, you'll hear as we go along in the story, the deity of Radha was very small. in comparison to the size of Gopinath. So she was thinking to herself, Radha is so small. But she didn't say anything. You know, don't want to say anything in a circumstance like that. That evening, she had a dream. And in her dream, Gopinath appeared in her dream and instructed Janava, actually, you're right. Radha, who is by my side, she's too small. Can you make arrangements for another Radha who's taller? And later in that same evening, the Radha, or the form, the Gopi form standing next to Gopinath, also appeared and said, this is what my Lord wants. It is what I want too. Please make that arrangement. So, in the morning, Janava consulted with the pujaris, Madhu Pandit and the devotees, that Gopinath and Radha herself have given me this instruction. So they gave their blessings, and she returned to Bengal. And in her hometown, where she and Lord Nityananda had resided in Kardaha, she made an arrangement with one murti maker to make a form of Radha specifically according to Janava's direction. The position of the hands of the deity, the shaping of the face of the deity, the very large smiling face and eyes of the deity. And after some time, the deity was completed. And a big festival was held in Kardaha. It's described that Janava wanted to give gifts to all the deities of Vrindavan. So many deities in Vrindavan, so a large boat filled with cloth and jewels and ornaments, 700 gold coins just for the deities. And as Radharani was very carefully brought to the boat, she offered a very wonderful prayer. My dear Lord Gopinath, please make an arrangement for a safe and swift journey for your beloved consort Radharani to come to you to Vrindavan. So the boat was on the Ganga, and the boat went upstream, up the Ganga, heading in a northerly direction towards Prayag, where the boat was then to go down the river Jamuna to Mathura and then Vrindavan. So along the way, the boat stopped, as it was planned to do, where another group of Vaishnavas received the boat and the deities, or the deity of Radha, and held a grand festival. Second huge festival. It's elaborately described in Bhakti Ratnakar. And many elevated devotees came and took part. Days and days, big festival for Radharani going to join Krishna. The king of the area was just overwhelmed to see the ecstasy of devotion of the followers of Lord Chaitanya for Srimati Radharani. Then finally, the boat made its way to Vrindavan, or to Mathura, and then the deity was taken in procession to Vrindavan, and another big festival in honor of Srimati Radharani. Gaudi Vaishnavas like festivals. Big kirtan and prasadam distribution and grand installation ceremony. And the Radha, the newer form of Radha, was placed by Gopinath's left side, and the smaller Radha was placed by his right side. You see how small the little Radha was. So after the deity was installed, some time passed, and Janava made her last and final visit to Vrindavan. And she was very elderly by that time. And very, very intimate exchanges with the deities were taking place. Although she was an elevated Vaishnavi, she would personally cook for the deities and personally cook for the devotees and with her own hand serve the prasad that she had prepared and offered to the deities, to the devotees, with such love and devotion. And when she came into the temple of Radha Gopinath, she entered the temple, went to the altar, and entered into the body of the small gopi standing next to Gopinath, and never came out of the temple. Now, the understanding that was presented by our acharyas is this. The small deity that you see next to Radha Gopinath is the deity of Ananga Manjari. Ananga Manjari is an expansion of Lord Balaram. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Lord Balaram is the embodiment or the personification of the mood of service to Krishna. So much so strong, wherever there is a mood of service to Krishna, it's derived from Lord Balaram. And so strong is that mood of service that Balaram manifests himself personally in each of the five primary rasas. There are five primary rasas of prema, starting with Shanta, then Dasya, and Sakya, and Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Shanta means neutrality. So Lord Balaram, he manifests himself as the dham, the abode of the Supreme Lord, all the paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord. Just like our radangas, they have this little stamp on them that says Balaram Mridanga, because the mridanga is a manifestation of Lord Balaram, and Ananta with his hoods is pictured on that little emblem. And on the altar we have so much paraphernalia. That paraphernalia of worship is considered worshipable because that paraphernalia is an expansion of Lord Balaram. The bed of the Lord, the shoes of the Lord, the little cap that each of you are having placed upon your head is a manifestation of Lord Balaram. The altar itself, all the paraphernalia is sacred and worshipable as a manifestation of Lord Balaram. And he manifests himself in the mood of dasya or servitorship. He always wants to serve and please Krishna. But he appears as Krishna's brother, and so there's friendship. Sakya rasa, just like the cowherd boys would perform their wonderful pastimes in the cowherd pastures. And always by Krishna's side is Lord Balaram. And on the other side is Sridham. Very dear friends of Krishna. But because Krishna is Balaram is the elder brother of Krishna, he sometimes manifests a mood towards Krishna of protecting his younger brother. And so much so that it becomes like parental affection. The older brother looking after the younger brother. Like Vatsalya, affection or parental affection. And he manifests himself personally in this form of Ananga Manjari. Ananga Manjari is the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. And this younger sister of Srimati Radharani, Ananga Manjari, is a manifestation of Lord Balaram. And of course, Balaram has his expansion as Lord Nityananda, and Nityananda's consort is Janava. So Janava entered into this expansion of Lord Balaram or Ananga Manjari, resuming her manifest spiritual identity. So this deity that you see pictured here is actually in Jaipur, when the deities of Radha Gopinath were again at risk by invasion from soldiers. The king of Jaipur took those deities, along with a number of deities, from Vrindavan to Jaipur for safety. Here you see on either side, I can't see so well, on this side, Lalita and Vishakha, the deity of Radha, and the smaller deity of Ananga Manjari. Here's a closer look. Somehow the color isn't coming out very well here. Looks great in my screen. It doesn't look the same on the screen over here. When you go to Jaipur, you'll certainly want to see the deity of Radha Gopinath. And unfortunately, you're not getting a good color picture. What's that again? Okay. Okay. I'll have to come visit you again and show you the pictures where you can get proper color. Another place where the appearance of the deity form of the Lord has many wonderful descriptions behind it is the deity, the temple of Gokulananda, not far from the Radha Gopinath temple. And depending on the language of your preference, you can read where the positions of these deities are on the altar. And I will flip back and forth a couple times so you can see the deities. Here is a deity of Mahaprabhu, the deity of Mahaprabhu that was worshipped personally by Narottam Das Thakur. And by his side are the deities of Radha Vinod that were worshipped by Lokanath Goswami. In front of Lokanath Goswami's deities of Radha Vinod is the deity of Gokulananda, very small deity form. Next to that deity is the Shalagram Shila that was worshipped by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm going to describe the history of each of these deities. And Radha Vijay Govinda that were worshipped by Baladev Vidyabhusan. So this is a really action-packed temple. Many deities by great, great Vaishnavas. And they have wonderful histories behind them. And I'm going to quickly go through them chronologically. The first is the deity of Radha Vinod of Lokanath Goswami. These are the deities. We'll take a close look. This deity of Radha Vinod in Vrindavan is the Pratibhu, or the replacement deity. Spiritually, they're none different, but the original deities are pictured here. They were there to be found in Jaipur. So a little of the history of Lokanath Goswami is that he was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, he grew up with Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip. And they were very close and intimate friends. So much so that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had decided in his 24th year that he was going to accept the renounced order of sannyas, he confided in a handful of persons what his plan was and took their blessings before he did it. And one of those persons he confided in was Lokanath. And he informed him that you're not going to be able to bear my separation when I take sannyas, but I want you to know that I plan right after taking sannyas to go to Vrindavan. So can you go to Vrindavan and be there ahead of me, so that when I get there, you, my very dear friend, will be with me and we can associate together. Very affectionate relationship they had. But it was very difficult for Lokanath, because even Lord Chaitanya was going to go to Vrindavan, to leave Lord Chaitanya's association was very difficult. But he had his instruction, so what could he do? A transcendental emotion was stirred in his heart. But he accepted the order of Mahaprabhu And he went to the residents of Navadvip, and one by one fell at their feet in a very humble mood, begged for their blessings that he could take up his residence in Vrindavan. And before Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas, he went to Vrindavan. After Lord Chaitanya's sannyas, he was planning to go to Vrindavan. But as we know, he was tricked by Lord Nityananda. When Lord Chaitanya asked him, which way is Vrindavan? He pointed toward Shantipur. Follow that direction, you'll reach Vrindavan. Because he wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to again give his association one last time to all the residents of Navadvip, including Mother Sachi, before he left. And they all requested him, said, particularly Mother Sachi, please do not go to Vrindavan. Go to Jagannath Puri. After all, Krishna is also in Jagannath Puri. They're none different. And the residents of Navadvip, they regularly go to Jagannath Puri for Rath Yatra, and I can then get news of your well-being. Please make your residence in Jagannath Puri instead. So on their plea, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, and he went to Jagannath Puri. And then shortly after, he went on a tour of South India for 2 years. Meanwhile, Lokanath is in Vrindavan, waiting. Where is Krishna? Where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's not come. And the separation was very, very painful for him. He was so attached to Lord Chaitanya. Finally, he got word, Lord Chaitanya is not coming to Vrindavan. He went to Puri. And then after that, he went to South India on tour. So Lokanath immediately left Vrindavan, heading for South India, looking for Lord Chaitanya. Imagine going by foot through the whole of South India looking for one person. You don't know where they are. And when he reached all the way in the southern tip of India, he heard Lord Chaitanya has left South India heading back for Puri. And so he immediately left South India heading for Puri. And when he reached Puri, he heard Lord Chaitanya has left to go back to Vrindavan. So immediately he left for Vrindavan with great anxiety in his heart. And when he reached Vrindavan, he found Lord Chaitanya was here for 2 months and he just left, heading back for Puri. He fell to the ground unconscious, weeping and crying in separation from Lord Chaitanya. And he had a dream in which Lord Chaitanya appeared and gave him another instruction. Go, Lokanath, what are you doing? Running here and running there. And just stay in Vrindavan and perform your sadhana and be happy. I will be with you in a spiritual way. Be content. So again, a very difficult instruction. Don't follow. Just stay. So he stayed. Very obedient to the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as he stayed, he made his residence in the 12 forests of Vrindavan, simply performing his sadhana. And he found a very wonderful place called Kishori Kund in one of the 12 forests, which he very much liked, and he made that his residence. And curiously, although he's a mendicant, he started developing a desire to have a deity form of the Lord to worship. And so this deity form was brought to him. One little village boy came in a bag carrying the deity and handed the deity to Lokanath and left. He opened the bag and saw this beautiful Radhavinod deity. And he was thinking, Krishna has appeared in his deity form. Just because of the desire of his devotee, he's made his appearance. But how am I to worship the deity? I'm a mendicant. I don't have the means. Worship of Radha and Krishna is very serious. I don't have any capacity to do that. So the deity spoke to him and said, Lokanath, you desired to worship my form. I have come. I've come without any other assistance, meaning The form of that little boy that was manifest was also an expansion of Krishna to make an arrangement to bring the deity form. I'll accept whatever you have. And I'm very hungry. Make some arrangement. Bring something for me. And so Lokanath accepted the order of Radha Vinod, and he prepared whatever he could have, he could find in the forest. Offered that to Radha Vinod, and gradually, in the simple way that what he could find in the forest of Raja, he made a peacock fan, and he gathered some leaves and green grasses and made a bed for the deity, and would sing for the deity and offer whatever he could find for the deity. In the course of time, this sadhu in the forest of Raja became known by Rupa and Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan. And so they sent one messenger to bring him from the forest of Raja into Vrindavan. So he made his residence in Vrindavan, not far from Sanatan and Rupa Goswami. A temple was made for the worship of the deity, and Radha Vinod were worshipped there. After some time, then we know that one of the next generation of Vaishnavas, Narottam Das Thakur, came to Vrindavan. And he was so attracted by the devotion of Lokanath that he wanted very much to become his disciple. But the mood of renunciation with Lokanath was so strong that he denied Narottam. He said, you're a prince, you're the son of a king, and I'm uneducated, poor beggar. Rupa and Sanatan, they're from a very elevated birth and aristocratic family, and you should approach them. Because of his mood of humility, which even encouraged Narottam further, because of he was inspired by his mood of devotion. So he worshipped him and served him in a very humble and menial way, so much that it reduced the resistance of Lokanath, who accepted him as a disciple. And this deity of Mahaprabhu, which you see here, was side by side worshipped along with the deity of Radha Vinod. And on this altar also is the Govardhan Shila that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally worshipped. We can read about this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One Vaishnava sannyasi, renunciate, was visiting Vrindavan and came from Vrindavan to Puri and gave as a gift this Govardhan Shila, this very Shila. And we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would place the Shila upon his heart while he was chanting in a very spontaneous way, place the Shila upon his head, sometimes over his eyes, as his eyes would stream profuse tears. And if you can see, yes, you can see, there's the thumbprint of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As he would chant, he would rub the Shila and made an imprint of his thumb on the Shila. Although he was so fond of this Govardhan Shila, he gave it as a gift to Raghunath Das Goswami out of great affection for him and appreciation for his mood of devotion and renunciation. Along with these gunja berries you see circling around the Govardhan Shila. By this, Raghunath Das understood that Lord Chaitanya is very kindly giving me residence in Vrindavan by Govardhan Hill, and he's giving me the mercy of Srimati Radharani in the form of these gunja berries. After Mahaprabhu finished his pastimes, Raghunath Das came to Vrindavan. He resided by Radha Kund, and the Shila, after Raghunath Das's disappearance, was brought to this Gokulananda temple. This is the very Shila that they worshipped. And by the side, so the Govardhan Shila is here, And by the side of the Govardhan Shila is Gokulananda. There's a close-up. And again, if the color was good, it's a very, very beautiful picture. This is the deity that was manifest for the worship of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was an acharya following some years after Narottam Das Thakur. Great, great learned acharya. He's said to be a manifestation of the potency of Rupa Goswami because his writings were so prolific and so deep and profound. But he was also a mendicant. And one day, one pujari in Vrindavan had a dream that his deity of Gokulananda requested, "I want to be worshipped by Vishwanath Chakravarti. Please take me there." So the deity was very attached to his, the pujari was very attached to his deity, but the deity gave him an instruction. So he went to Vishwanath, and Vishwanath saw the beautiful deity form, but said, I have no means. I don't have the paraphernalia. I don't have the resource for worshipping the deity nicely. And besides, I don't have the qualification. Worshipping Krishna is very serious." So he declined and sent the pujari home with his deity. That night, Vishwanath also had a dream. In the dream, the deity pleaded with him, "I want to be worshipped by you. Please accept. And whatever you have, that's all right. Just offer what you have. I'll be happy." That same evening, Gokulananda appeared in the pujari's dream and said, "Go back to Vishwanath. I've told him. He's changed his mind." But the very next day, Gokulananda was taken to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who continued his worship. And now this temple of Gokulananda temple is found in Vrindavan. The last deity pictured here is the larger deity, Radha Vijay Govinda. This is the deity that was worshipped by Baladev Vidyabhusan. And the very wonderful narration also, I think I'm going to fast forward with this one because I think it's time for the prasadam to be honored. But Baladev Vidyabhusan was a contemporary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one generation younger. He became his shiksha disciple. Baladev was great acharya under Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's instruction. He went to Jaipur. I'm skipping some important Vaishnava history, but there was some controversy. Every now and then we find out there's some controversy about this or that. So there was, at that time, there was a controversy about the bona fides of the disciplic succession of Lord Chaitanya. Some of the Sri Vaishnava followers who had come north from South India had established a temple not too far from Jaipur, and they were questioning, do the pujaris who are worshipping the deities of the Goswamis, do they have the qualification to worship the deities? To worship Krishna, you have to be properly initiated, and the line in which you are initiated in must be an unbroken disciplic line. So they were having some question about that. They're having some question about the mantras, the Gayatri mantras that were being chanted by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And they had a third question. It's more than that. But a third question was about the teachings of Lord Chaitanya had no accompanying commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So to settle skipping some important details, the very important part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava history, Baladev went to Jaipur and with the mission of writing such a commentary. There was no commentary on Vedanta Sutra because the followers of Lord Chaitanya accepted Lord Chaitanya's teaching that the Vedanta Sutra already had its commentary. by the author of Vedanta Sutra. Vyasadeva is the author, and he wrote the commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam. So commentaries were made on Srimad Bhagavatam. But the Sri Vaishnavas were saying, no, no, you have to have commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So Baladev went, and when he reached Jaipur, he paid his full dandabats before the deity of Radha Govinda. Some of you that have been to Vrindavan, you'll know a beautiful, powerful deity of Radha Govinda. And he was prostrated before the deity for 3 days. He didn't move, offering prayers to Govinda with great intensity of his heart. Please give me the ability to represent Lord Chaitanya's teaching properly. And at the end of the 3rd day, he sat up and began writing. And his commentary is called Govinda Bhashya, because as Baladev said, Govinda just dictated, and I just wrote. Whatever he said, I wrote. It's not my commentary, it's his. So Govinda Bhashya. And in that commentary, he explained all of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in very, very detailed and meticulous way. So much so, when the Ramanadis, the Sri Vaishnavas, read it, they were in awe at the wonder of the presentation that they read. Their comment was, they've never read such a exquisite and comprehensive and compelling commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And so the controversy was resolved. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas continued worshipping the deities, and to this day are worshipping all these deities in Jaipur. And so the deity that Baladev worshipped was known as Radha Vijay Govinda, Victory Govinda deity. So very, very beautiful deities. And in the courtyard of the temple are the samadhi mandirs of these great Vaishnavas. Lokanath Goswami's samadhi is pictured here. There's a few pictures of them. You can see along the side here how it's all worn. The paint is okay up here, but down here the Vaishnavas place their head by the column, offering their prayers to Lokanath. And eventually it wears off the paint. So this is the largest of the samadhis, and in that same courtyard is the samadhi of Narottam Das Thakur, pictured here. And there's a previous version. This is the renovated version, but an older version is pictured here. So from time to time, they do carefully maintain these samadhis. This is the samadhi of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And there's, again, an older version of the same samadhi. Here they are pictured side by side, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's samadhi and Narottam Das Thakur's samadhi. Excuse me. Narottam and Vishwanath, and then Lokanath Goswami's samadhi. So if you visit Vrindavan, now you'll have an image in your mind of these very, very beautiful deity forms and the stories behind their appearance. And just as Krishna makes his appearance in Vrindavan once in a day of Brahma and performs his wonderful Vraja Leela pastimes, Krishna is not limited, he's unlimited. For his pure devotees, he sometimes just makes his divine appearance in various ways, so that we can also go there and see Krishna in his very sublime transcendental deity form. So I hope you all get a chance to visit Vrindavan and visit these very wonderful places and take the blessings of these deities. We can offer our prayers to Krishna that he inspires us also to go very deeply in our practices of devotion, in our service to the Vaishnavas, and that his blessings will also enter into our hearts and our lives. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Sri Radha Gopinath ki Jai. Sri Radha Vinod ki Jai. Sri Radha Vijay Govinda ki Jai. Gokulananda ji ki Samira Bhakta Vrinda ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. Prasadam. Very well. Hare Krishna. Nice to see you too.